Sorry, I nearly stood on the birthday girl. Okay, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you very much. That's very kind. My name's Matt, one of the leaders here. Let me add my welcome to you if you're a guest with us this morning. See a few faces that maybe are new to us, and you're really welcome this morning. We hope that you're already enjoying being with us in our meeting this morning. Today is a good day. Today is a good day. I'm going to just read something from Psalm 108. This is the freebie bit. This isn't part of what I want to say, but this is something that I just want to say before I say the things that I want to say. Psalm 108 says this. It says, "My heart is confident in you, O God." I don't know about you, but at the start of a new year, there's a few things that get tested in my thinking. And this morning, as we've just sung that song, "God, I see you do things. I've seen you move the mountains." And actually, that gives me confidence to know that you can do it again. Anybody else? And so this morning, as we step into a new year, not this morning, but as we step into this to a new year, I feel it's really significant that we remember what God has done, because that gives us hope to look forward in the future. You know, I guess many of you will have things or people in your lives that you know that you can depend on, right? Hopefully. And why do you know that you can depend on those people? Why do you know that you can depend on those things? Because they've got a proven track record, right? Yep. So there's people in my life who I know I can trust 100%, or as close as 100% as we can trust people here on this earth, because I know that they have a proven track record. So my confidence is in these people or in these things because I know it has a track record. Yep. My confidence is not in my car. Sometimes it lets me down. At the moment, my screen washers don't work. I have no confidence that when I pull my screen washers to wash my screen, that my screen is going to be clean at the end. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but it seemed like a good example. Anybody else have unreliable screen washers? Vicks don't work either. I think let's get together this morning. No. But you get my point. We can be confident in the things because they have a proven track record. And can I say this morning, we've just sung that song, God has a proven track record. So when David says, "My heart is confident in you, O God, no wonder I can sing your praises with all my heart. I will thank the Lord among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations, for your unfailing love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." You know, God's faithfulness is another way of saying that he is dependable, he's trustworthy, we can put our confidence in him, we can have the year that God wants us to have because he has a proven track record. Anybody else pleased about that this morning? And that was the extra part, because that was not really where I was starting, but I felt that it was important. Amen. And actually, what we want to do this morning just kind of fit with that, because what we want to do this morning, if you've come and you've been part of Ashwood Church for a few years, you'll know that often, very early in the year, we come together and we talk about what the next year we believe God has spoken to us. And we send you all away with a fridge magnet. I know, yeah, there's a lot of people looking excited about fridge magnets. Well, the fridge magnets are here, but that's next week. So hold on, people. Okay. So next week, come be here excited. Make sure you've got a space on your fridge because we have a fridge magnet with your name not on it, but kind of with your name on it. And what we wanted to do this morning, actually, we've already mentioned it a number of times. We want to look back on 2019, because I think as we talk about 2019 and we look back and we thank God, we're going to see things, elements of God's faithfulness, which is going to give us confidence for what 2020 and beyond looks like. And actually, the place I'm going to start, just for a few minutes, because I think this will encourage you. I hope it will do. It certainly encouraged me as I reflected, because I guess like me, many of us, we're in this season where we're looking back as well as looking forward. And at the end of a year, as we turn the page into 2020 from 2019, many of us, and it's often what people do, isn't it? They reflect back on what the last year has looked like. And I guess sometimes there are things we want to leave behind. And there are some things which we definitely want to take into, carry into the next season. And for me and for us as church, Christmas is always a great time to celebrate, but it's also a great time for us to do stuff together in our community. And I think you'll be encouraged by this. As I look back over the Christmas season, the things that we got up to as church, I'm going to show you what I've called the Ashwood's 12 dates of Christmas. And just some of the things that we got up to as church, and then I'll tell you why we've done that in a moment. So the first date of Christmas actually started in November when we took 40 ladies to Birmingham. I didn't. it's the big term. I wasn't there. I wasn't even in the country. To the Birmingham Christmas market, and we told them why we'd invited them, and we invited them to all of the Christmas stuff that we were going to do in the coming weeks. That was the first date of Christmas. The second date of Christmas was the Kirkby Christmas Festival, something that we get involved in every year. There's a carol service. Some of you in the room were part of that. The carol service on the Kirkby Plaza in the centre of Kirkby. It's quite a big deal. Lots of people around for that, although that was a bit quieter this year. But we have a stall as well. We made 100 of these snowmen. I say we again. I'm going to say we a lot. Generally speaking, made 100 of these snowmen, and we gave out hundreds of invitations to invite people to come and get to know us and get to see some of the things we're doing, gave away a lot of chocolate as well. That's the second date of Christmas. The third date of Christmas was our pantomime trip. Yes, it was. And we went to see Cinderella. This year we took 100 tickets. Took 100 people to see the pantomime. Many of those people are friends we're connected with in the community. We're getting to know them, they're getting to know us. And of course, we gave them a bag. We invited them to come to all of our Christmas services so they could get to know us and hopefully understand what we believe about the message of Christmas. That was the third day of Christmas. The fourth day of Christmas, we had a Christmas fair. It was in this room. Anybody come to the Christmas fair? Lots of people did. I think we had 15 different stalls. We were raising money for the new home for Ashwood. Over £500 was raised, people. That's pretty cool, wasn't it? And that was the fourth date of Christmas. The fifth date of Christmas was our movie night. How many people came to the movie night? We were in here. It was cozy. It was fun. You can see the picture there. Some of the kids sat snuggled up in their pajamas on the floor. I think 58 people booked into that. And of course, we invited them to everything we were doing as church in the coming days. That was the fifth day of Christmas. The sixth dates of Christmas. Some of you may not actually be fully aware of what happens in this place during the week, but we run as church something called Seesaw. How many people come to Seesaw? There are some Seesaw people in the room. Whoop, whoop. It's the toddler group. I know the toddlers aren't here right now, but Seesaw had two Christmas parties. One of the most popular things. Over 120 toddlers come, and of course, we had the opportunity, I think, to invite them to some of the other stuff that we were doing as well. There's just a couple of pictures. That's the sixth date of Christmas. Seventh date of Christmas, we went singing in Morrison's. That was a pretty special moment, wasn't it? How many people were singing in Morrison's? Here's a little picture of what we did. And of course, we gave out, I think, over 100 invitations for people to come and find out what we're doing, to get to know us and to get to know what we think Christmas is all about. The eighth date of Christmas was a concert that we had here in the Ashwood Centre. How many people came to the concert we had for Tearful? Wasn't that an amazing night of music? Yes, it was. It was fantastic. The musicians were amazing. The music was fantastic. And also, as part of that, the team were here from Tear Fund, which is an organization we partner with as church on a regular basis. They presented some of the stuff that they were doing. And as church, as well as individuals, we responded and we gave, as church, £500 to the campaign, which was helping relieve poverty for children. I can't remember where it was. Somewhere in the Middle East, I think. Anyway, we did that as part. So just letting you know that as church, we were able to do something as part of that as well. Over 100 tickets, people came on that evening. The ninth date of Christmas, the youth Christmas party. How many people came to the youth Christmas party? That's right. This is the youth area right here. Everybody sitting here is youth, which is amazing. And was that a good night? Declan wasn't there at the party. He's missing out. You can come, Declan, in another 12 years. So, the 10th date of Christmas was the Friday night takeaway. 5 to 11-year-olds gathered together. I think we had 33. Now, most of the kids who come to this are actually from They're connected with us through the community, and we had a fantastic night. You can see the team there who hosted that. The guy on the stilts came, had a lot of fun, and actually we're able to give all of those kids who came a book which told them the story of Christmas. We talked about it on the night. We prayed. It's one of the things that's been really successful for us. Friday night takeaway, of course, we told these kids what Christmas is all about. Was it good? Yes, it was. The 11th day of Christmas, we're nearly there. You're doing well. Food Bank. I just wanted to let you know, because partnering with Kirkby Churches Together, Food Bank here every Tuesday. Some of you are on the team. Thank you so much for the incredible work that that you do. And we were able, on top of the regular food, we were able to give 22 special Christmas food parcels out to people who desperately need it at Christmas. Just a couple of people, a single mum with two kids, two families with five kids each, a new mum with a premature baby, and two men who at the moment don't have homes. Isn't it incredible? It's sad, but it's incredible that we get to play a part in that as well, isn't it? The 12th dates of Christmas, and I included this, was our Christmas Sundays, our guest services. We had two of these. One of them was the Christingle one. I think over 180 people in the room. Who was here for our Christingle service? Wasn't that a great night? Turn the lights off. Look at the candle. Remind ourselves that Jesus is the light of the world. It was brilliant. And our family service as well. So many people involved in that. And they are the 12 dates of Christmas, which meant that I didn't even have space for Christmas morning. But was that a good morning here? How many people were here on Christmas morning? I think this is 12. This would be 12B part 2. Janine, yeah. So Christmas Day, 12B part 2. We had a fantastic morning. Wasn't it great, those of us who were here? The kids brought some of the stuff to share with us. You can see some of those things. So we had a baby that was called Lego. That was a special moment. There's Martin holding a potty as well, which was another treat for all of us. And so that's 12B part 2. And so there isn't even space for me to tell you about the Christmas walk that we had last Sunday morning, when a whole crowd of us went for a walk and had breakfast baps together. Was it good? Yes, I think it was. And so why do I want to take a few moments to talk about this morning? Well, I've already partly explained it. But first of all, if you're involved in any way in helping to run these things, serving, there was people serving food, there was people leading meetings, there were people helping in the car park, there was all kinds of things. Can we just thank everybody who was involved in making this kind of thing happen? It's so good. And the other reason for sharing it with you this morning, because I don't know about you, but if you consider yourselves part of the Ashwood family, I think the 12 dates of Christmas, actually, in the right way, I'm pretty proud to be a part of a church that wants to do this kind of thing. Anybody else? And so I want you to be aware, because I don't think there's anybody, I don't think, who will have been involved in all of those 12 plus parts B two extras. I don't think there's anyone who's been involved in all of those things, but together, lots of people were involved in lots and lots of things. And finally, the other reason I wanted to say all of that is because if you're here today and you're one of the people who we connected with on any of those dates, then can I say welcome? One of the main reasons we did that was for you, so that you could be here amongst us and hopefully we can get to know you. And the truth is that we're not just excited about Christmas, we're excited about the message of Christmas, which is one of hope, of joy, and of life. And it's not just for Christmas, it's for the rest of our lives. And we want you to know that, and we want to celebrate it together. Anybody else? Yeah. And that's why we talk about Alpha as well, because that's another opportunity for us to make those connections. So what we want to do this morning, that's part one. Part two, we've got some, Zoe mentioned, Claire mentioned, 2019 being a year of transformation. And we wanted to take the opportunity to celebrate some of the great things that happened in 2019 and to let you know some of the stories, just a few of the stories. We won't have time to do all of them this morning, but to share with you some of the stories of the things that have taken place in 2019 in the lives of people who are part of our church family. And we've got two videos, so let's watch the first one right now.
This year year, I should have done 2 holiday clubs called Backpackers and Team Builders, where children from church and outside from the community have been involved in. They've got to encounter Jesus by doing crafts, Bible stories, worship, prayer, and lots more. This has been a great transformation in their lives as they take it into their homes and outside of the community.
At the beginning of 2019, the meeting room in the Ashwood Centre transformed from this
Cafe 22, a place in the community where everyone is welcome, also has
leather lemon running. Start of this year, I was scared of dogs, and I prayed every day, and now I'm not.
Hello friends, Freedom in Christ Discipleship Course. You, as a believer, will not do a better course than this. This will teach you so much about yourself. You'll learn about who you are in Christ. It'll show you how the enemy is already defeated in your life. It will free you from any bondage you are under. And I guarantee it will be the best course as a believer. But no matter how long you've been a Christian, it will be the best discipleship course you have ever done. This course has changed my life.
When I look at the things that I've been through in the last 2 years, not just the 1 year, yeah, I've gone through depression, I've gone through physical hurting, emotional hurting, and yeah, I shut God out a lot. So now, you know, the confidence that I've got and the spiritual growth that I've got just by actually, you know, not shutting God out but trusting in Him, I'm just, yeah, I'm grateful because I know I've transformed.
Right, transformation for me has been becoming more and more confident in Jesus, in who God is, and that's made me confident in me and everybody else around me. Great stuff.
For me, transformation kind of started at the beginning of 2019 where God spoke to me from Revelation 19 about raising a hallelujah. Because salvation, glory and power belongs to our God. And we've seen that worked out in through Alpha Course and the Hope Tour that has been just seeing people moved on further towards finding and following Jesus. With our children in schools and young people. And we're looking forward to more transformation in 2020.
So 2019, I think the biggest thing that has transformed for me would be my motivation for school and the drive to achieve highly in my exams. Obviously with uni coming up, it's definitely been stressful with trying to find different universities and sort of sending my application out. But I think my drive in working hard and studying has definitely improved.
There's a reason I'm sat here in my bathroom over the last year and a half. Dom and I, and some helping hands, have been transforming our home. As you can see, some parts are finished and looking really good, and then some other parts are unfinished, getting there. I feel like God's been teaching me a lot about resting in that discomfort and tension between finished and unfinished. So this year I left my job where I've been teaching since I started teaching. I felt for a while that God's been asking me to sort of step out, to move on in order to grow and to change. So I left with nothing to go to, a bit crazy maybe, but that's what I felt God was asking me to do. But God has worked lots of things in transforming lots of my fears and anxieties. I've had to do things and face fears that have helped transform me. Which is why I'm sat in the bathroom, because I thought it demonstrated quite nicely that feeling of being transformed and yet still undergoing transformation. So maybe that's where you sit this year as well.
In 2019, I have really seen a transformation in my attitude towards a great many things. I've realised that being a single mom does not mean that I should be counting myself out of everything. During this year, I've realised that I have a great deal to offer Ashwood Church.
How good are those stories? And there's another batch ready to come, so just listen closely to me and then I'll let you watch the second video. Is that a deal? So many great stories there, some of them personal and some of them sharing with us some of the activities that have changed as part of church. Abby mentioned the holiday club, which was really significant for us as we looked to make sure that the activities and the events and the things that we do help people to find and follow Jesus, which is our vision. And also Cafe 22, which doesn't start again tomorrow. Some people are asking me. I know there's people who are desperate to get back into Cafe 22. I think it starts a week tomorrow. Okay, so... But Cafe 22, a huge success, and one of the things that we will continue with in 2020. So it's great to hear some of those stories. I also love Rowan's story in the bathroom, everybody else, where actually we realise, and one of the things that was really important to us in a year of transformation was we distinguished between the things where there is a transformation and something happens and it's complete, and then other things where it's a process. And we looked at, there was three really important Bible verses for us in 2019. And that first one that's up there on your screen now, Galatians 6, chapter 5, is one of the passages where we talk about a transformation and it's complete. It means that once this has happened, it's once and for all, it's finished. Let me just very quickly remind you. It says, the Apostle Paul, he's talking to the church in Galatia, and he says, it doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What really counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. And basically what Paul was saying in this passage, I'm not going to go into it, not time to go into it to now, but he was basically saying to the church in Galatia, they got stuck in the old way of thinking. So I just mentioned circumcision. That was one of the things, it was one of the areas that God's people used to have to do in order to be able to get close to God and to be able to live the way that God had originally planned. And so it was understandable that the church was still looking to operate in this way. But Paul had come, of course, and he said, everything has changed post-Jesus. Everything has changed. The old ways of doing things, we don't need to do them anymore. And of course, we live in the post-Jesus era as well. So it applies to us. And what Paul was basically saying, he was saying that the thing that really matters is that you've become a new creation. What does a new creation mean? It means you can't go back to the old creation because a new creation has become new. That's why the analogy of caterpillar to butterfly, anybody ever seen a butterfly go back to being a caterpillar? Probably not, although they can do clever things these days. No, but not, because that can't happen. And it's the same with this transformation. And it's so important. And that's why in 2019, we distinguished it really clearly, because we said that once you've been transformed, you've become a new creation, which is what Jesus explained to people was. He said, you have to be reborn. And once you're reborn, here's another area where you can't go back and become unborn again, can you? So be reborn and actually a new creation. But the other two types of transformation that we looked at, including Rowan's helpful bathroom example, Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And I think this was probably one of the most significant parts of our 2019 year. You'll hear it in some of the stories in the next video in a moment. But actually, this whole idea of having our minds renewed is transformational. You know, if you ask the question, how can I be transformed? We said, like 10, 11 months ago, we asked ourselves a question, who wants to be transformed? Most of us said, yeah, I'm in that category, I'm in that camp. We said, well, what does it look like? Well, it's very clear from the Bible, from Scripture, that if you want to be transformed, the place to go after is your mind. And there's a lot of battles going on in our world, but I would like to suggest that one of the key areas for battleground is in our minds. I don't think most of us need persuading that there is stuff that goes in our head where there's an ongoing battle. And what happened 11 months ago, we had a visitor, a lady called Chris White, a friend of ours from Texas, and she came and she launched this series, and I think so many of us, if you are around, found this incredibly helpful. She said that she came and she talked to us about mind renovation, basically using this passage from Romans. And she said, you know, there are 10 signs of what it looks like if you might need to have your mind renewed. And I think I've got the list here. I'm not going to go through all of them this morning, but things like we focus more on what's wrong instead of what's right. We're harassed by voices of past mistakes and failures and traumas. We talk mean to ourselves. We have runaway thoughts that lead to panic and steal our peace. We worry more than we worship. We don't know all the things that God thinks about us. And I think most of us looked at that list and said, well, I'm in that list and maybe I'm not all 1 to 10, but there's many of those things which I recognize. And we went on this journey. And of course, this is part of the transformation, which is a process rather than a one-off exercise. But Chris launched this for us and many people bought the book. And this is just an aside, but Chris White is coming to speak to us, I think it's 5 weeks' time. So make sure you're here in 5 weeks' time if you enjoyed that. And I know many people bought the book and found it really helpful. So that's just a quick aside. So come back and let's hear what she has to say to us this year. But one of those key principles was this phrase from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And I think if you listen to some of the stories of the transformation that took place in 2019, I think quite a lot of them can be attributed to this very verse. But most of us are still in a process. How many people in the room are aware that there are still some thoughts that you have that could do with being taken captive and made obedient to Christ, because they're not always the most helpful thing for you to be listening to in your mind? Anybody? And I think this is part of the transformation that we experienced in 2019, but it's also a key thing. And that's, I guess, why I'm reminding us this morning, A, we're celebrating it and thanking God for it, but B, let's make sure that we haven't given up on taking captive every thought. And actually, if you listen to some of the stories in video two, I think you'll hear some of the evidence of where this has taken place. So let's watch the second video.
So this year, our transformed worship nights have been amazing times of pursuing God's presence and pressing into all that he has for us. And I believe that that's really spilled over into the rest of the worship life of Ashwood Church.
So my year of transformation came about using the word differently. It's for other than better. I've had a weight lifted off my shoulder of expectation of that I've put on myself, to that I've got to always achieve something more and more and more. So I found myself doing things in a happier place, with less pressure. And then I found that actually I've started to worship differently. That my worship is now freer, more joyous, and that has been an incredible, surprising benefit of this year.
The trustees have supported some minor transformation of the Ashwood Centre this year. We've had new decoration, some additional heating, and the rendering has been replaced at the front. But obviously we look forward to a time where we're going to transform into the new home for Ashwood. Some of the members of Ashwood Church have transformed into the new project team this year. We've been looking forward with excitement and anticipation as we seek God's will to bless our plans going forward. And we know that God is going to bless us more abundantly than we could ever wish for.
Hi guys, Rich and Chez here. What a year for 2019 has been for us. God has been amazing, blessed us both in so many ways. Within our marriage, within the young people, the youth work has been amazing for us both, grown and developed within our faith.
And for me, the real thing that kind of pushed me was beginning of the year, Easter, when I went over to Malawi. God really pushed me into difficult situations, made me feel quite uncomfortable, which is sometimes a great thing. And then further throughout this year, I feel like I've been really stretched in my faith. And like Shaz said there, our relationship with God has grown from strength to strength. So we're really looking forward to 2020 and see what God's got in store for us.
See what it can bring. Exciting times!
So my transformation happened when I was doing my GCSE exams. And during this time, my mum was diagnosed with cancer and it was pretty scary. I can easily be filled with anxiety, but I prayed through all my exams and to be honest, I was amazed at how God helped me. No fear and no anxiety.
Brilliant. This year I was completely transformed when I was baptised in April.
During this year of personal transformation, I've had the privilege of getting involved and leading the Sunday Kids teams. I feel this year my confidence has really grown and stepping out into something new and exciting has really challenged my thinking.
I see transformation as a process. The beginning of my journey in that process found me feeling very inadequate, feeling not valued and at best tolerated. Then a few years back, God showed me very clearly, or told me very clearly and dramatically that I am enough. It was a massive revelation for me. But this year of transformation brought me another step further in that. And I learned to understand that I'm actually significant, that I'm loved, and even beautiful in His eyes. He confirmed that by prompting somebody to give me or make this sign for me, which is now hanging in my kitchen. And I'm talking here not about an understanding in my head. It is a knowing that I know in my heart, a knowing that only God can give.
Well, we declared as a church a year of transformation, and I get a cancer diagnosis. And I said to myself, well, let's just get through this. But God actually responded, what can I do in you and through you this year? You could say I was in a storm, down in a valley, or in a tough season. But God still wants to transform us, and I'm so pleased He's done that in me this year.
So, some other great stories. I think you'll agree there's some great things on in there that we, I think you should be encouraged today. And do you see some of the things that are very personal, some of the things that are very significant to us? But as we look back, we can then give it, it gives us incredible confidence to look forward into 2020. And can I thank quickly, very, very quickly, Paul and Zoe for putting all this video together for us? Because you can imagine there's plenty of work that goes on behind the scenes to make these things available for us. So just in closing then, the final scripture that we looked at was this one from 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It says, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are transformed into His glorious image. Or another translation says, transformed from one degree of glory to another. The renewing of our minds is a key part of this transformation, but it's so important that we see and understand that we're not trying to be transformed by working hard on our own. This passage here reminds us so helpfully that it's the Lord who is the Holy Spirit who is making us more and more like Him. In other words, it's through Jesus that we are born again, but it's also through Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who is helping us become the best version of ourselves that He intended. So at the start of 2020, it's good to know that we're not trying to be transformed or continue to be transformed on our own. It's the Holy Spirit who within us wants to help us to be transformed, to be the best version of ourselves that God intended for us to be. And the final thing that we looked at last year, at the end of last year, was the whole area of transformed living. Basically, we said if our minds are renewed and we find ourselves in a place where God is transforming us from one degree of glory to another, the expectation, of course, is that we will live differently. And we looked at the book of Ephesians, the second half. To be honest with you, the thing that I guess I know lots of people will have discovered new things or interesting things, different things, and God will have shown us things together. But the thing that really kind of blew me away was that as I'd read Ephesians many times before, I read the second half of Ephesians, and it basically talks about the way to live, the healthy way that we can and we should live. And I've read it before, and I thought, if only I could do that. It talks about unity, talks about maturity, talks about walking in the light, talks about living relationships well, and how to live in the world of work well, and spiritual warfare, all these things. And I've kind of thought, yeah, if we can get all this right, then this really will be a transformed way of living. But the thing that I'd missed is right at the start of Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And I've read it many times, but I don't think I'd perhaps seen how important this is. Because, in other words, Paul says, because of who you are, this is how you should live. And it's all off the back of Ephesians 1 to 3, if you want to go away and read those, many of us will be aware of some of the things it says. But what Paul is saying is, because of who you are, this is how you should live. And he's not just saying, this is the way you have to live, guys, now. You know, things have all changed, so there won't be any swearing, there won't be any getting drunk. You know, there are expectations on living well, but the basis for that is not because Paul's just ruling off a whole list of things that says, guys, you're in the different club now, this is the way it's going to be. He's saying that because of who you are, and remember, who are we? Well, we are sons of God. We are sons and daughters of God. We are adopted into the family of God. We are beautiful because that's who God's called us. So if we understand who we are, then the natural consequence of that is, if you're a son of God, a daughter of God, and a son or daughter of the King of Kings, imagine that has an implication for how we want to live our lives. And I don't think I'd seen that quite clearly, but I found it really helpful that as a result of that, it's not that in 2020, it's not that I'm suddenly going to try and do all these things because that's going to make God happy. That's never been the case, has it? Well, we actually live by faith through grace for what Jesus Christ has done for us. So what's our response today, this morning? Well, I think there's probably two responses. And the worship team, I think we'll sing in a moment as part of our response this morning. And there's two things I think are our response this morning as we enter and we turn the page into a new year. One is thankfulness. I don't know about you, but as you hear some of these stories this morning that we've shared, and hopefully you arrived this morning and have had a moment yourself. And if you haven't had that moment yet, then we'll pause for a moment, and you can do that shortly, just to pause and reflect and to say, what am I thankful for as I look back through 2019 and, of course, before that as well? What am I thankful for as I step into 2020? And, of course, there's many things. And the second response, and I don't know about you, but there's certain things that we sing over the Christmas season that kind of just linger with me a bit longer into the new year. There's people in my family who still listen to the Christmas Pentatonix album in the car right the way up until June. It's an odd thing to me, but it seems to be very popular. But there is a There's a Christmas carol in the bleak midwinter, and the last part of this says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give him my heart. And there's that sense in those words that isn't, what can I get away with when I come to God? There's a sense of saying, well, what can I give him that's an appropriate response for all that he's done for me? So I come to a place where I'm incredibly thankful, and we've sung some great words this morning, haven't we, of God's faithfulness and his kindness, and we'll sing again those in a moment. But I don't know about you, but as a follower of Jesus, and I know that may not be all of us in this room, but for many of us, we would declare ourselves to be followers of Jesus. What does it look like to respond appropriately? What is the fitting response? Well, he values me so highly that my response is not just thankfulness, but it's also surrender. You know, in many church services this morning, particularly Methodist church services, the congregations will use the words of John Wesley, the covenant prayer. And we've used it before here in Ashwood. And I always think these words, some of you will know it. I think we've got them, Janine. The words that John Wesley put together, modernized slightly with the language. But basically, summarized, it's the words are, it's surrender. And some of these words, if I'm honest, they're quite uncomfortable. You know, it's, if you, next week we'll talk about 2020 and beyond and the things that we believe God is saying. But just very quickly, we felt God was talking to us about going deeper and going wide, going deep and going wide. And I can't think of anything that looks deeper than some of these. This is an expression for surrender to God. And we're always very careful as we respond not to put words in people's mouths, because actually it's a personal response. So when you look at these words, I'm going to allow us to read them. I'm not going to suggest that we all pray them. You can pray them yourself if that's your response this morning. But I want to challenge us a little bit to say, well, what is our response? You know, are we saying at the start of 2020, God, here I am, I'm no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will, with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Is that something we really want to pray? Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you, brought low, full, empty, have all things or nothing. Freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. You are mine and I am yours. And of course, that really is the key to it, that actually, if it's a relationship that we have with our Father in heaven, you are mine and I am yours, then that is the bottom line. It says it all. It's what we stand on. It's what we move forward on. It's the basis of our history, but it's also the basis of our future.